Okay, if you want to turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. I've entitled this lesson, He That Wins Souls Is Wise. Verse 3, those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. King James says, those who win us souls are wise, will shine as the stars forever and ever. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Jesus says that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. And in the very next chapter, we see that it was these that Jesus had said to pray that the Father would send workers into the harvest, that they were the ones that were sent. And so when we pray that God would send workers into the harvest, be prepared to go. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. So, are we ready to say that? When God says, there's an opportunity here, who are we going to send? Who's going to cross paths with this individual seeking my face? Are we prepared to say, here I am, send me? In Matthew chapter 28, what we recognize as the Great Commission, after Jesus had died and rose again, and before he ascends into heaven, he gives this Great Commission to the apostles. And we see here in verse 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So the Great Commission is to us, because he said to the apostles, after you go and baptize people, you teach them also to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So this Great Commission was not just for them, but it's for us. And you know, we come together, as is well brought out, on the first day of the week. The church came together to break bread, to remember our Lord and his sacrifice. But you know, we don't want to forget that we have a commission, and it's not for us just to enjoy our fellowship and our time together here on the earth, but we are to be laborers out in the harvest. We need to remind ourselves we have this commission to go and teach others this great good news that we all heard, and very thankful that we heard it. And so we really need to go out and make ourselves available. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 5, verse 15. Romans 10, 15. And as we often say to people, if you can't keep up, don't worry about it. Just listen. Romans 10:15 says, How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings, good news of good things. So we have been sent, and how beautiful are the feet of those who go. So you know why it's good news, because it is good news. That's why Satan hates that. Satan wants to destroy each and everyone he can, since he knows that his judgment is already passed, that he is going to hell. He wants to take as many people as he can. And so he hates this good news that we are going and spread, and he will oppose us, but God will be with us. In Ephesians 6, let's look at verse 15. So he says here that, you know, the beautiful feet we talked about that go and preach the gospel of peace, he brings it up again here. He says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Shodding feet is making them prepared to go. And so it is with us. He's using this expression to say, be prepared to go, because we've been sent. So what does that look like? This shodding of our feet, this preparation. What does that look like? If you're to be prepared, what does that mean? You must know. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17, verses we're all familiar with, says that all scripture given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for both doctrine, or the teaching of Jesus, reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness. So the scriptures will give us all we need to go. And so Paul also said in the chapter before that, in chapter 2 and verse 15, then we should be studying to show ourselves approved to God, that we are prepared, we are ready to go. Show yourselves approved to God, that you have been studying the Word of God, that you can be a workman for God, and you won't need to be ashamed that you're not prepared to go and to preach the gospel. James tells us that, listen, you might need some wisdom in doing this. In James 1:5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. So you're saying, well, you know what? I can study for knowledge to go, but as far as doing it in a profitable way, I might need some wisdom to go with the knowledge. Where am I going to get that? You pray to God for that. You ask for wisdom. And if you've studied, then the Holy Spirit can bring up to your mind remembrance of things he once said when you go. We see an example of that when Jesus sent them out by two. He said, don't worry what you will say in that day. It will be given you what to say. Now, you have to do some studying in our time. I mean, we have to do some studying. What they had for the Holy Spirit to bring up to them was the teaching of Jesus that he had taught them. And the Holy Spirit would bring that up to their mind as they went and repeat the things that Jesus was saying. Well, we have to study so that the Holy Spirit can bring up to our minds those things we've studied to understand. See, the Holy Spirit don't just give us things we've never looked at or thought about or studied or understood. We have to do the studying, and then we can pray for wisdom. Now, I want to read Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. And we'll start in verse 3 through 6. He says, praying at the same time for us as well. So Paul's asking for prayers as they go to carry out the commission, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. It been a mystery because those in up to this point, before the gospel was preached, didn't understand the things that the Old Testament said about these things. But the mystery was the same as the promise given, Christ in us. That Christ would be in us in this new Christian age. But he said, pray that God would open the door, bring us to the people that are searching for his face, that we might share this mystery of Christ, that is Christ in us. And he said, for which I've been in prison. Yeah, we may have to go to prison for doing this, but there's just more opportunity there. That I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. He says, not only would I have you pray that God would open the door, but that I would be able, through wisdom and study, make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And he says, conduct yourselves, speaking to the church, with wisdom toward outsiders. That is, people who are not yet Christians. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So you see why we need wisdom. We can know a lot of things if we've studied, but we can sure mess it up too if we don't use some wisdom in how we're bringing it out, with our speech being with grace, as it were, seasoned with salt to make it more palatable, tasteful, so that we can be profitable. So we need wisdom for that. Now, let's go over to Ephesians 6, and this is what I was writing Blaine about earlier in our men's session. He was kind of walking over this stuff and not getting my hand signals to be quiet. But anyway, Ephesians 6, and starting in verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So we have an enemy out there that's going to resist us as we go. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting people. That's where we need the wisdom, that our speech can be with grace, seasoned with salt, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Cedric used to always say, this is talking about in the church. In the heavenly places, there's wickedness as well, but crept in unawares. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having your girded your loins, that is the loins of your mind, he's talking about. Having your loins girded with truth. Thy word is truth. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that is righteousness in your life. So the walk matches the talk. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, as you go, you know what's coming at you, right? You're going to battle. Flaming arrows are coming at you, people opposing what you're saying. So be ready for it. Don't be surprised by it when resistance to what you're teaching comes at you. God's telling us here, these flaming arrows are coming. Make sure you got your armor on. Take the helmet of salvation, which 1 Thessalonians 5:8 tells us is the hope. Take your hope in Christ with you. and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, prayer at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. He says, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness with boldness the mystery of the gospel. So he says, let's pick up verse 22, for which I am an ambassador for Christ in chains, that in proclaiming it, the gospel good news, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, brethren, Jesus had said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So these things certainly apply to us as well. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to look at the parable of the sower. In Matthew 13, verse 3, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. So now, if we have shod our feet with the preparation, by all the things I mentioned, is how you get prepared. We've got our feet shod. We've made the preparation for it. So, let's listen to what Jesus says about us going forth now to sow the seed. Let's go to verse 10. First, Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. So, again, these things were mysteries unknown that were revealed. And these things, Jesus prayed and he said, we won't turn there, but he prayed and said in Matthew 11:25, Father, I thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent of this world, but you've revealed them unto babes. And Peter clarifies that for us in 1 Peter 2:2, as he says, as newborn babes, those who have been born again of the water and the Spirit, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Verse 12 of Matthew 13. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him. So, If you want more, we're back to 2 Timothy 2:15. Study and show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you are studying, you are seeking the things of God, he will give you more. And if you have no interest in it, he'll take away what little you might have. Verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. So, The problem is the heart, you see. Jesus said they don't have the heart for it. They don't really love the things of God or want to know the things of God. They're dull of hearing, dull of seeing. It's their heart. But he said, it's been given to you because you have the right heart. These mysteries, which many had longed to know, will be revealed to you, and you will understand them because your heart is right. In verse 18, he says, hear then the parable of the sower. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go up and I'm going to look at Jesus giving the parable, and then we'll go down and we'll pick up the verse that explains it. So in verse 4, he said, as the sower sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Now he explains this in verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. So, you know, people might listen, they might go here and there, and they might hear this and that. But you know, they never really get an understanding. They really don't come to understand the things of God and what he's telling them. Because evidently, they really weren't searching for God with all their heart. So God said, if you search for me with all your heart, you will find me. If you truly ask, it will be given. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened. So what happens here is there was really no interest in what they were hearing. It's like the seed, which Jesus explains is the word of God. As the seed was sown, as you went forth into the world and sowing the seed, and you're speaking to someone, but they don't seem to have a real interest in what you're saying, or don't retain it and don't come back, then he's saying that it's because the bird came and took what you sowed and ate it up. It never settled in their heart. And that's because of their heart condition Jesus is explaining about. Verse 5, he says, others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. And this is verse 20 and 21, he explains it. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. You can picture a seed that fell, but there wasn't much soil under it, and so the roots didn't really take. I mean, it flourished for a minute, but because the roots didn't take, there wasn't enough soil, then it did not survive. The plant did not survive the thing you sowed. And so Jesus is explaining here that because he heard, and at first it sounded pretty good to him, but you know, he didn't keep searching. He didn't maybe come back and hear more, make himself available, or did not open his Bible and search deeper and start looking more. And so never, there was never no firm root ever established. And so, no firm root, and pretty soon, you know, he might get offended, actually, about what the word says. I've seen that a lot. You know, I've experienced it myself. And that's one thing about this parable of the sower and these different types of soil. Do you know you can move around in this? You can be here, but you could also be here. Or you could be here and then be here. Because it's your heart and your understanding will change. And as your heart and your understanding changes, your position in the type of soil you are, or heart condition, changes too. So you examine yourself, say, where do I see myself? Was I always there, or was I somewhere else and now I'm here? It's a good way to examine your own heart by this parable, because Jesus explains what's going on. Okay, let's look at verse 7. He says, others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And he explains this in verse 22. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So you start out okay, but you get distracted. You get off course. You start turning your attention too much to worldly things. And so your heart gets carried away. And pretty soon, you're unfruitful to God and unprofitable servant. So then, verse 8, finally he says, others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And so he explains this in verse 23. The one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So, like I said, we can examine ourselves and say, where do I see myself? Have I moved from a position maybe I had before? Maybe you were offended, but now you're back. You know, maybe you really had no interest before and the birds took it away. But now maybe you really have changed positions and you do want to know more and you're back. Good. So the thing is, isn't it interesting that out of all of the examples here of four different examples of where the seed was sown, only one of the four was good soil. Only one of four. So as sowers going forth to sow, we should not be so discouraged if we do not bring forth fruit from a person. If one of these other three reasons happens to them and they're gone, maybe you as a sower did not fail at all. Maybe you spoke in wisdom and knowledge and boldness. Maybe your speech was seasoned with salt. But the problem was their heart. It wasn't you. So don't be too discouraged, because three out of four don't believe. So God says in Isaiah 55:11, he says that when the sower goes forth and sows the seed, it will accomplish what God sends it to do. It will not return to him void or empty. So we can see here in the parable of the sower is a good example of that. So when the three that turned out not faithful, did the word do its job? Yes, it did. It proved their heart condition was not right with God. So the word did its job. It showed their heart. And for the one that was right, the word also did its job. It showed his heart was right. So the word never, when as a sower, you go and you spread the word, it will always do what God sent it to do. And we may not feel too joyful about the outcome three out of four times, but trust the word is doing its job. So in one sense, much of the Bible is written in paralytic form, just like Jesus spoke in parables. That actually started in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament forward, much of the language in the scriptures is shadows, types, and figures. See, parables. Giving us earthly meanings that we can understand, but with heavenly meanings behind them. And in the New Testament, those things which were hidden, those parables, are now revealed. Excuse me. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as we start winding down here. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5. So, what then is Apollos? He was one that was out, you know, he'd gone forth and was preaching, and just like Paul. Well, he said, what is Paul? What's Apollos? What's Paul? Servants to whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. You see, God gives opportunity to each of us. And don't leave here. I'll come right back. But I'm just going to pick up Romans 12:6 because it goes with this. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. So what he's saying here is that grace or abilities or giftings have been given to each of us according to the proportion that God has given you. Okay? And so this is what Paul is saying here, 1 Corinthians 3:5, that even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. So according to what he has given you. So, you know, that reminds us, don't turn there, but in Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. So we don't all have the same talents given to us, and not the same measure. But in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, you see the one who just had one talent was held responsible because he did not use that one talent. And so it was a question of how much you had, one or five, but what did you do with what you were given? With the opportunities given, what did you do with it is what the parable of the talents is telling us. So now we're back to 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to pick up in verse 6 and says, Paul says, I planted, see, some seed. Apollos watered. He came along and planted on, you know, on top of what I did, so called watered. But God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, really. I mean, don't be going around thinking you're something if you bring someone to Christ, because you were just planting and watering the seed, and it was the seed from God that was doing all the work through the Holy Spirit. But so it's God who causes the growth, he tells us here in verse 7. Now, verse 8. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. You were on the same team. But each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So there are rewards for this, guys. Okay. All right. I mean, the next world is going to be pretty cool. I don't know. Maybe the rewards are just the people you save. That's pretty cool. You know? See people in heaven and know that God allowed you to have a part in bringing them in. Hey, that's pretty cool. That'd be nice. So, for we are God's fellow workers. You see that? We ain't out there in our own strength doing this. We are God's fellow workers. We're working together with him. You know, we're in the yoke together with Jesus. According to the grace of God, which was given to me. According to the grace of God that was given to each one of us. Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. See, we're working together. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So make sure what you're teaching is correct. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, that sounds pretty good, like you're using the right stuff, you're saying the right things, but maybe it's wood, hay, straw. maybe it's not the right things. Well, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. Oh, there's some purifying going to go on. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved if he goes through the purification as well. Yes, so as through fire is what he's saying here. So, we are laborers together, each of us, with God. And we have the commission to go into all the world. As we see the early church in Acts 8, 1 and 4, they were persecuted, and upon the persecution they were scattered into the world. And as they went, they preached the word. You know, it didn't say they were persecuted and they scattered and ran and hid. They were persecuted, they scattered and went preaching the word. And that's what we are to do. So we'll close up with Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and starting in the first verse. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, willing servants, to all the saints, that ain't somebody special that died and was made a saint. These are those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. These are the Christians. To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, the leadership, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. That's what we're talking about, is our participation together. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, all because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. Let us, brethren, remember that we have a commission to go. Let's not get too comfortable on our laurels and feel like that, there's, you know, all we got to do is keep coming and taking the Lord's Supper till we die. No, we have work to do. So let's be going. If you want to stand, we'll be dismissed.